In 1906, Ed Johnson was dragged from his jail cell and lynched on the Walnut Street Bridge here in Chattanooga. A memorial at the bridge is expected to be completed next year. Japortia Pettaway wrote about the case as a student of our campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Her article, The Intentional Omission, appeared online a few months ago in Catalpa, published by UTC's Department of English. I caught up with her earlier this summer.
Japortia, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
You grew up here in the Chattanooga area.
Yes, I did.
When was the first time that you heard about Ed Johnson?
Specifically, I would say never. Just recently, from my own, research, I guess. So I guess if reading about it in a book is hearing about it, that's sort of my experience.
But that first time, that was once you had come to UTC, correct?
I think it's fair to say I read the book in its entirety while I was at UTC. So that was my first time really hearing about or reading about Ed Johnson.
And then how did you go from reading the book and taking all that in to writing the article that you did for Catalpa?
I would say there was a lot of failed attempts at articulating his story in the midst of the now and then. First, it started with me reading it and just educating myself. And then that led me to the racial sublime, which I sort of began to research for my rhetoric class. And that was an okay seminar paper. So that kind of led me to a revision. And when I got into the magazine class, that just sort of stayed on my mind, and I knew that that was my topic.
One of the things that you write about is what you call intentional omission. Give me a few examples of that.
When I first heard that phrase from Miriam Martin, it just sort of reminded me of white hegemony and just the dominance of one culture or the influence that they have. So when I think of intentional omission, I just think of all the things that are left out just because it's convenient for a majority white population. So I don't know, I guess sort of how we grow up idolizing presidents and not knowing that they had slaves, or we sort of grow up hearing about Martin Luther King Jr. and the I Have a Dream speech, but we really don't hear about the FBI sending him letters, urging him to kill himself or anything like that. So I guess that's what I think about when I think of intentional omission. It's just anything that sort of, appeases white hegemony and its functions.
Even things such as the listing for the sheriff at the time of Ed Johnson's lynching and what that listing says and doesn't say.
Yeah, so it's never really, his role in it is never mentioned, although I would argue that that's sort of where he gets his notoriety today. But yes, so I still don't know why it's not on the site, because that's just a big part of who he was and his legacy. So I don't know.
Another thing that you write about is your journey to find out more about who Ed Johnson was as a person. And not only that, to find a photo of him. Explain to people why finding a photo of him was more difficult than it might seem.
I have March 19th, 2018 for the date that the photo was sort of recovered. I was sort of familiar with his story around that time. But for me, I think it's really important to see his face and to recognize who he is, because I think identity is a thing that, again, when you talk about racial violence and its roots and its causes, white dominance, slavery, anything having to do with race, identity is sort of stripped from those who are oppressed. So I think it is important to see his face and to know that he was a person, and it sort of brings his humanity back because he was dehumanized in a way.
As I understand it, it was difficult to uncover this photo because the newspapers at the time in the South, when there was a lynching, when there was anything leading up to a lynching, they made it a point of not showing the face.
Yeah. And so That, again, brings me back to the idea of, like, hegemony and just sort of the participation and oppression of minorities, or especially Black Americans. Newspapers, media outlets advertised lynchings, from my understanding and my research, almost as a community event. It was a spectacle. Families would come, children and all, and they would just come and basically view a dead body or glean some type of pleasure from it. I've seen plenty of pictures where kids are smiling, or parents are encouraging the kids to look or whatever. So I just think that's a disturbing fact, but it's a part of America's history.
And Ed Johnson was not the only person ever to be lynched on that bridge.
Yeah, two more. Well, two in all, I mean. So Ed Johnson and Alfred Blount, I think that's the pronunciation of his name. So, yeah, I sort of have the bridge as in that period of time, because it was Alfred Blount was lynched in 1893. Similar circumstances. He was accused of sexually assaulting a white woman, and he was also shot and lynched. So, yeah, similar circumstances, very disturbing. And I think the bridge in that period of time was a sort of symbol for, I don't know, maybe even a hot spot for carrying out racial violence.
You have another year to go at UTC. A lot of things have happened in this country. What thoughts do you have about what kind of future you want to have once you graduate from UTC?
I don't think that we are past anything. We're still in the midst of it, and so it's so hard to have any type of time to reflect, I guess. But I have been thinking about just what I hope my university sort of addresses, and if I have to be a part of addressing that, that just will mean that I'll have to get over some shyness, a little bit of anxiety, and sort of raise my voice. But I just hope that our university, or my university, just sort of addresses implicit bias, just privilege, anything that has to do with racism, and just opening people's eyes to just how deep it is and how ingrained it is. And I don't know, for me personally, I just see myself maybe taking a step back from writing about Black men and just maybe focusing a little bit more on Black women, particularly Black females, and I don't know, over-sexualization and being the least defended, but also the first to be looked to in times of change and leading movements. Maybe just shifting focus a little bit just to make sure that Black women, also the LGBTQ plus community, all these overlooked sectors of society or demographics of society, just making sure that I lend my attention to that and just sort of try to bring awareness to any issues that catch my eye or I think are overlooked.
All right. Japortia, thanks so much.
Thank you.